This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello again, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs with Wells Tech, and we are in the midst of episode 497, recorded on May 5th.
Or not.
I'm sorry, May 16th, 2017. I'll get it right after all these 497 episodes. I'm allowed a mulligan once in a while, am I not?
You are. I'm just checking to see if it was my fault or not, since we go by this mind map that I, Sally Draper, work on the dates for, and thankfully it wasn't me that put the wrong date.
I just saw the 5, and I just did it twice, May 5th, so that would have been 11 days ago, which is totally off kilter. So, but whatever day it is, it's for episode 497, and the sun is shining, at least here, and there's a big weekend up in New Ulm last weekend, right, Sally?
There was always a joy-filled weekend when MLC graduates a class of newly trained teachers and pastors heading to seminary. And boy, I don't have it lying here. I should have had it. But the assignment list of teachers wasn't on your traditional, 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. It was on a legal size sheet of paper covered front and back with teacher assignments. So they did some serious assigning of teachers over the weekend. So exciting times.
Good. Yep.
For sure.
We had an assignee, that's what you call them, to our school. We're excited about that.
Oh, good.
So we are replacing Mike Marcourt, who had been at Peace for more than we had. So that's at least 14 years. So he's going up to your neck of the woods, St. Croix. He's taking a position to do music up there. They'll be blessed by his ministry, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
So we wish him well. Sally, we have a show to do, and this is one that we look forward to each month, where we take and collect all of the feedback that we've received over the 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever it is. And actually, we go even beyond just the feedback. We kind of dig around in different locations where we know there's good stuff, and we pull that out as well and have a conversation around some good technology and ministry topics. And this week is no different. We've got something from every segment.
We do. And I just have to admit that I had a dream the other night that some great new additions to our list came in, but we had already done the podcast. That part was the dream. And I'm so thankful we hadn't. I guess we had just done the planning, and I was thinking the podcast was behind us as well. But, always some great content to add to the mix, and today won't disappoint, I'm sure. Starting out with email, and a couple of the things that I subscribe to via email. One is Church Tech Today, no stranger to Wells Tech. We talk about it quite often, actually. It's a well-run blog. We've actually had Lauren Hunter on the show, who is behind Church Tech Today. Recently, they published a blog post, 5 Tips for Improving Your Church's SEO Ranking. And I guess the first tip would be to know what SEO stands for. It's search engine optimization. And in layman's terms, it means that your church would come up first in a Google search. And
high.
Yeah, and those are premium places.
That's the goal, but first page is nice too.
That's right. Premium location in Google searches, and everybody wants to know how to get there. And, a good question to ask. There's some good tips here. Make sure your website is searchable by Google, and they give you a way to test that out. Write website content with a visitor and Google in mind. And oftentimes I describe that as kind of putting on the hat of your audience. Think about what they might be searching on that you'd like them to land on your particular web page. Claim your local listings, and they tell you how to do that with Google and Bing. Submit your website and sitemap to search engines, and again, they provide links to the Google Search Console as well as Bing Webmaster Tools. And then use SEO plugins to improve tagging. And they link to Yoast, which is one I'm pretty familiar with, and All-in-One SEO, both really excellent WordPress plugins that'll assist and evaluate your post and things like that, make suggestions to improve your search ranking. So pretty short little article, but I think some of the links there are very valuable.
Are you familiar with Yoast because that's what MLC is using? What's your...
I want to say yes,
but... I know that's what the set is using.
Yeah, but also we use it on our personal websites that Kevin and I have as well. Yeah, so
some of these are super easy to put in place. And one thing I wanted to mention with that article, they talk about Google's webmaster resources. And we've talked about that on the show many times before. Just a plug for that again. If you manage a website, that's probably a site you want to bookmark because they do have all kinds of great tips. Ways to not only to integrate with Google, but talking about Google Analytics, all kinds of great articles and step-by-steps to get the most out of your website. So it's worth the effort to dig into that a little bit.
Yep. Another website that I subscribe to and wanted to share an article from is from WP for Church. It's a WordPress-centric site where they actually sell themes that they've designed with churches in mind. But their blog has some great tips for developing church websites. And this one, part one, Know Your Audience and How to Engage Them, actually walks you through some of the things that they think people would be interested in on your church website, things you should have in place if they're visiting your site as a brand new person, someone interested in coming, someone committed to coming. So again, just putting on those different audience hats. So things like the basics, directions, maps, what you believe, your contact information might be what someone brand new is looking for. And then moving on to interested, different groups that they could get involved in, Bible studies, contact details for specific ministry areas, and then finally for those committed, how to give, why we should give, special church events, volunteer opportunities, rosters, etc. So I thought this was a really great kind of checklist thing that you might want to just take a look at your church website and see if these things are represented there, and if not, consider adding them to your site.
So not just content related to WordPress, but content for any church website is the focus there. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Good.
And then finally, I'll throw a link in the show notes to a new to me, at least, computer science curriculum that's from Google. It's called Applied Digital Skills, and it looks like they've done a really great job. It integrates a lot of video and teaches computer science skills. So check that out.
I'm reminded you mentioned Assignment Day at New Ulm earlier, and one of the comments that President Schrader made was that he didn't know what STEM was, or at least he didn't know until that appeared on one of the calls or in one of the calls that they were assigning. A little disappointed. I need to get over there and school him up a little bit on what STEM is all about. But it's certainly something that I think schools are beginning to pay attention to and understanding that, boy, there's a lot of stuff to dig into there as well.
Yep. That was my friend Amber Zembrowski that got that STEM call. So shout out to Amber. And yeah, that got a real laugh from the audience.
It has nothing to do with gardening or horticulture or anything else.
But science, technology, engineering,
math. Listeners on this podcast probably already know it, but science, technology, engineering, and math.
Maybe you should invite President Schrader to be a listener to the Wells Tech podcast.
Yes, that too. A couple awesome conversations to have, yes. He's a busy guy, though.
Yes, he is. Speaking of STEM, we did a shout-out recently to a video that the good folks over at Lakeside Lutheran High School produced using their STEM classes to work with first and second graders that were visiting their campus. And we heard from Lakeside, and they particularly thanked Todd Hagbarth, who was behind the amazing to watch work with those littles, and they even threw in a behind the scenes picture. So check out the link to that in the show notes. Sounds like it was a fun project, and certainly thankful for STEM teacher Todd Hagbarth at Lakeside.
Very nice. We're still in Twitter. I tweeted a couple items here that we can talk about. One is a familiar topic that I remain very excited about, and that's Google Classroom. And the news around this tweet was from TechCrunch. Google Classroom now lets anyone school. It's a hard topic to repeat without actually reading it twice. But basically, it opens the platform up a little bit wider, so you have the opportunity to use the tools that are available in Google Classroom to let anybody take advantage of the courseware and some of the other things that are baked into Google Classroom, which kind of packages up some of the existing products and puts a nice wrapper on it and allows grading and those kinds of things as well. So
TechCrunch article. We had talked about that once before, that they opened it up somewhat to other...
This seems like something bigger, further.
Yeah,
right?
This looks like it's opening up to anyone with personal Google accounts. So.
Right, exactly. Right.
Very exciting.
EDU or Google Apps account. So that's the good news of this. So if you are interested, and there may be opportunity for people listening on the show, whether it be for a catechism class or whatever, to take advantage of this, because it makes it just a whole lot easier to get people into it. That was, I think, one of the challenges before.
Definitely.
I tweeted also, and this was actually just a couple days ago, because I was excited to see this, because I'd been researching it a little bit when we had Steve Daly on. Was it Steve Daly?
Yes.
About the Bullet Journal. I ran across an article a YouTube video, how to set up a Bullet Journal style notebook in OneNote. So I keep most of my stuff in OneNote, and trying to go, the bullet journal way, which is totally analog, was not kind of what I was looking for. But this this little YouTube video, who's a from a bullet journaler, even the paper version, walks us through how to maybe use OneNote in bullet journal style. So if you want to kind of be in that digital world and still take advantage of some of the techniques of bullet journaling, this is a good video to view, because it gets you kind of off on the right foot and lets you know that OneNote, which is extremely flexible, could be repurposed for a bullet journal system. So,
and how would I go about using all my colorful pens in OneNote?
OneNote has all kinds of colorful pens.
Do they? Okay. I want to see your bullet journal in OneNote, Martin. You'll have to do a show and tell on that someday.
Have not done it yet, but I've got material at least to start with.
So. Awesome. Good stuff.
It's happy to see that. Let's go on to Facebook, Sally.
Yeah, a couple of mentions from some of our listeners on Facebook. We heard from Ryan Diggs, who's the president at Gethsemane Lutheran Church, and that was the church that we kind of called out. I think they're in Raleigh, North Carolina, as being a Facebook superstar, just because they had such great content on their Facebook page and regularly updated and a good mix of content and things like that. So Ryan wrote back to us and said, thank you to Wells Tech for recognizing us. Our evangelism team, including Pastor Kecker, works hard to keep our members informed on church events and to use social media platforms to reach out to our community and share the gospel. We pray that God continues to bless us as we continue to fight the good fight. That was Ryan Diggs, church president. So very exciting to hear that focus with their evangelism team. That's great.
Yeah, and blessings on that important work. But thanks for the shout back. We appreciate listeners following up, and that's neat. Mm-hmm. Keep up the good work.
We also heard from our friend Cindy Krieger, long-term Wells Tech listener, and this one really made me smile. She said, I'm watching Growing a Greener World on PBS, and I hear a familiar tune in the background. It's the Wells Tech podcast intro music. Maybe it's time for us to change our intro music.
Somebody stole it.
They're on to us at PBS. Yeah, definitely stock me.
Get our music. I think most of the music we've used, and we change it up, every 150 episodes or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, real regularly.
We've changed it 3 or 4 times, I think, in the history of the show. But we bought, a long time ago, we bought some some kind of bumper music and some imagery and that kind of stuff. And that's what we've been feeding off of. And we'll probably take a stab at doing something for episode 500 as well.
Ooh, so how exciting.
Stay tuned. I'm sure that's exciting to everybody.
I can't wait. Cindy, you'll have to let us know where you hear that music.
That's right. Yeah. Maybe, I'm not going to, maybe we should commission something. Be really original, right?
Oh, dude, I just closed
a
wrong.
We know a few people who could do that.
Yeah, there's definitely some talent out there that could take care of that.
All right. We should probably take a look at the Intersections group on Facebook as well.
Yeah, that would be a good idea, except I think I just crashed. Oh,
yeah, I
didn't.
See ya.
I came back. Okay. All is good in Wells Tech world. Yeah, I had accidentally closed a window, and then I tried to reopen it, and Chrome thought I was crazy. So I won't show you this window, but you can count on the fact that the link will be in the show notes, and you can check it out. It has some sound on it, which is what I was trying to silence. Some kind of autoplay video. No, right now I don't. All right, so the title of the article is Google Chrome Won't Be Allowed on Windows 10S. This was some breaking news last week, and the article is from ZDNet. We thank Professor James Karlofsky for sharing it in the Wells Intersections group on Facebook. Desktop version of Google Chrome won't be coming to Windows 10S because 10S requires you to get apps that are distributed from the Windows Store. So funny how Google Chrome isn't there in the Windows Store. So,
well, part of it, and Google Chrome could be there if they really wanted to be, but part of the architecture, and I just heard about this morning, I guess, part of the architecture that makes Chrome quote-unquote secure would have to be compromised to put it in the App Store for, and I don't know if it has to do with the e-commerce side of things or sandboxing or that kind of stuff. So they probably won't be there. I've been, just as a side note, I had to reinstall Windows about a week and a half ago, something like that. And that's not a big deal these days because I don't keep a lot of stuff locally. It's all in the cloud. But I decided not to install Chrome on it, just live with Edge and see what kind of life that is, because I do switch back and forth between a Mac and a PC, mostly when I'm at work and answering email and Word docs and that kind of stuff. I'm on the PC, and using Edge has not been that bad of an experience. They do have extensions now, so the killer extension that has to be on any browser I'm on is LastPass, or I wouldn't be able to actually operate, so I've got my passwords there, but it has other things that are useful now as well that are kind of the big hitters in Chrome, so I think they're catching up, and I do believe it's more stable and faster. I've noticed both of those using Edge. I still use Chrome on the Mac side because there are some extensions that I need for developing, but Edge is not that bad. So if you kind of dismissed it when you install Windows 10 and said, this is not for me, you may want to give it a try again. They've made some nice improvements and there's stability there. And I believe it works a little bit better than Chrome does. It certainly doesn't take as many resources as Chrome does, which is one of my big problems with Chrome. You open up a few too many tabs and you're kind of living on the edge.
Almost crashing your podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Good feedback. All right. I think it's time for one more Facebook mention. And this one again came from the Wells Intersection group. And it's an article from our friends at Concordia Technology Solutions. They're the folks behind Shepherd Staff, and we know them personally. Good folks down there, and they're doing some excellent blogging. This particular blog post is titled Social Media Roundup, Post Churches Can Try. And what they've done is they've kind of done a compilation post where they've got ideas for different things you can do as a church in the social media space. And they have links to articles that they referenced, and they've kind of put a few of the points here. Things like question of the day, promote your events, include quotes on your social media, do behind the scenes images, worship song set list, sermon preview, hymn lyrics, holiday post. The list goes on and on. They really put together a very extensive list. 25 quick ideas for your church's social media, including Throwback Thursday, or embed a Spotify playlist, or a caption contest. Lots of fun things. So if you're looking to freshen that up, maybe you just want to browse the different articles that they link to in this post and save some of those ideas for adding to your social media stream.
Yeah, again, content is king. So nice article. Mm-hmm. Should we move on to Google? Google Plus.
Yeah. And I think I have something open here as well. Google Plus, the sweet spot for Google Plus, I think, is communities. And there are a couple of those communities that we follow on Wells Tech. One's titled Wells Google Schools, and it's a group of already 416 members who are using Google apps for education in the classroom, and they support each other quite thoroughly on this community site, ask questions, and you can always get lots of feedback. And actually, I think it was just last month that we talked about Gail Potratz asking a question about using a TV display, and people pointed her to Google Sign Builder. She had a little bit of problem, and she figured out eventually, after some people offered some suggestions and things, that she was using the URL copied directly from the address bar, and you have to use the URL provided for you in the publish to the web screen with the Chrome Sign Builder. And so make sure you check out which URL you're using if you're having any difficulties there. That's kind of the moral of that story. She linked to a document that she put together and shows exactly what URL she's using, and some links to help documentation as well. So pretty nice of Gail to put that together, and we will be sharing that link in the show notes.
Yeah, digital signage is becoming more and more feasible. Whether you're a school or a church, there's opportunities to install fairly inexpensive, larger displays. And then the challenge then is, how do you get content onto them? And that's what Gail was after with a Chrome Sign Builder. So that's something, mm-hmm. if you're into that mode in your organization, that might be something to check out. So go ahead and join the Wells Google Schools group to get more information on that.
And just a quick mention of the Wells Office 365 Schools group, which Perry Lund is kind of the leader behind that group or community on Google Plus. And Perry was quite prolific in all the different links and things he listed. He was at a recent conference. I think Microsoft representatives were there, and he shared lots of goodies from that conference. So be sure to check out that group if you're in the Office 365 space in your classroom.
Yeah, Perry would definitely be a resource, and I'm sure happy to share his experiences with Microsoft products in the classroom or on a campus. And they've come a long way, this most recent conference, and Windows 10S and some of the other EDU announcements with Minecraft and Code Builder and those kinds of things. It's an exciting space right now to have some options. Google had kind of dominated that for the last couple of years. Now Microsoft, I think, is saying, hey, don't forget about us. So that would be something to consider going forward. Mm-hmm. Should we move on to Digo, one of our favorite social sharing sites that it's real easy to just click a link and say, let me share this with my Digo friends. And that's what Emil Burgess did, didn't he?
That's right. Pastor Burgess shared a link to a Gizmodo article titled, How Did UnrollMe Get Users to Allow It to Sell Their Inbox Data? So apparently there's a utility called UnrollMe. It's been around for a while, endorsed by Lifehacker in 2011. So that's a long lifespan in internet years. But apparently what they found is that it's owned by a company called Slice, and Slice makes money by scanning emails for receipts and then packaging that information into intel reports on consumer habits. So Uber, for instance, had been playing Slice to find users' Lyft receipts, Lyft being a competitor of Uber, and they could see how they were spending their money each month. And look at Lyft's business. And just seems like it's a little more big brotherish than that you're agreeing to with Unroll.me.
It's just another reminder that you don't get something for nothing. Unroll.me was a service, as best as I can remember it, that allows you, once you give it permission to scan your inbox, to unsubscribe you from stuff, newsletters, or you know how your email somehow or your inbox somehow gets overrun with this stuff that you're not quite sure how you're getting this. So they offered the service that, hey, you give us permission to get into your inbox and we'll take care of that for you. That's very nice of them, but obviously their business model was to take that data and sell it. Not to say that your data, or not to say that your identity maybe was sold, but it was probably anonymized data, but it may not be too hard to figure the stuff out either. So just be careful. It's not always what it seems.
Yeah, those little terms and conditions that you just click by when you sign up for things probably have it in the fine print. Apparently 4.2 million people agreed to this. So,
Be very careful and be very choosy about who you give access, especially to like an inbox where you're getting password reset notifications and, you know, sometimes even account numbers and those kinds of things. So it's important to be careful with that data and that permission giving.
Yep. One more from Digo that ties into our next social media channel and one of my favorites, Pinterest. Jason Winjet shared an article and an infographic called The Social Media Cheat Sheet 2017, Must Have Image Sizes. So they've gone through each of the different social media sites and recorded the different image dimensions that are appropriate for the sites. And all the data and verbiage around it is in the article, but then there's this lovely infographic at the end that just ties it all together. And I actually pinned this on our Pinterest board, Martin, so you can find it on the Wells Tech Pinterest board saved for you.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Good find.
Speaking of Pinterest, I also pinned one during the month called Coding a Lego Maze. And I thought this was really creative when you're trying to teach coding and maybe you don't have enough computers for everyone in the classroom to use. Why not teach them commands and things using Legos? And this is actually a free printable download, and it has different things like ifs and else ifs. Statements that you can print on paper and cut apart and let them construct their code blocks right there using the paper format and build it out of this kind of a maze type thing out of Legos where you're directing a Lego minifigure or something through the maze. Looked like a lot of fun and worthy of a pin. So that too is on our Wells Tech Pinterest board.
Very nice. And last but not least, is there anything in our Google Groups list?
Actually, coming in late, the things that dreams are made of. We didn't have anything in our Wells Tech Google Groups list until we heard from James Flynn, who serves as technical director at St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. And James has just loads of engineering experience under his belt. If you visit his website, you'll be quite impressed. And he's been working on audiovisual things for the church there in Sturgeon Bay. And he decided to start a blog and kind of expound upon his knowledge and application to the church setting. And so if you visit flynnengineering.weebly.com, you can learn more about James and just kind of view his different blog posts. He's got stuff on SD and HD TV systems, HD graphics, radio, and more. And then finally, I found a graphics gallery where he's showing examples of how he's used free imagery to come up with graphics for projection and things, the kind That's of things nice. That people are paying for. And he's made these available for download for free. He says if you email him, you can even get the PSD files and change them if you'd like. So lots of great resources from James. We really appreciate him sharing with the class. On the Google group post, he shared his contact information and says he'd be happy for people to reach out to him if they have questions or are formulating a plan for their church.
Very nice. And yeah. I think that is going to wrap up our community feedback segment for the day. Good stuff. And if you'd want to follow up on any of that stuff, please go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and you'll see all of those articles with the appropriate links. And while you're there, you have opportunity to find out all the ways you can get in touch with us and be a part of our next community feedback segment next month. And that is for all of the social networks that we're on. Those are all listed in the top upper right of the show notes page. You can send us email, wellstech@wells.net. You could even leave a voicemail if you go to our show notes page. There's a little blue button on the right-hand side. You click it and you talk. And you might have to give permission for our site to use your microphone, but we will not sell your information for sure.
No unroll me happening here, huh?
No unroll me. No unroll me action here. Sally, we're creeping up on episode 500, and we're doing a little countdown each and every week down to that and kind of going back through the ages and looking at past years. And we've done that for six times now. We're on year seven, which happened to be 2014. Took a look at our picks and had a little fun just kind of looking back. What strikes you from year seven, 2014?
I guess a couple of things that were on my favorites list. Google Forms, still right up there on my favorites list. I think putting the power of data collection via the web in users' hands, that's a pretty huge breakthrough. We had been used to having the power of creating documents and spreadsheets and presentations, but then actually the ability to put a form up without being super web knowledgeable or having a domain name or anything like that. Just being able to create these simple forms and gather things like vacation Bible school registration or prayer request or whatever it may be, I think that was a really great breakthrough that year. The other one that jumped out at me and I had to smile was a term I did not know until 2014, I believe, and it was Kanban. And that had a pretty big impact. We learned about Kanban, a Japanese term used in Japanese companies around processes, basically. But it's basically a simple way to have in front of you, typically on a board with post-it notes or list or whatever, all the things you want to do and the things you're working on and the things you've gotten done. So you can watch things progress through the chart or on the board, and people can look at the board at any given time and see what your projects are. So in terms of project management, I think that had a huge impact on me personally and the work that I do, but I think just that concept really catching on in so many different ways. Even in the bullet journal, you see that same kind of concept where you keep up with things and move them along in the process. So a big personal and corporate productivity step for me, at least in the way I see things.
Kind of adopted that and kind of migrated that into digital format using Trello. We've talked about that before. So it's still with us, I think, the whole concept of visualizing the work kind of big picture and then zeroing in on the things that you're doing or not doing and understanding how that works through the process of getting work done is unique and important to this system. So
definitely.
The thing that strikes me from my picks that year was a ebook, Instagram for Churches. We just finished a whole segment talking about social media, and Instagram was a big part of that. In fact, I think that was the first one we selected. So I think visual imagery and some of the tools that the social media platforms are now putting into place, like one that I'm going to have as my pick of the week, the ability to kind of have a running piece of content, a story or some kind of ongoing journal that people can follow is a part of all these, and Instagram is no different. So interesting stuff in 2014. Let's move on, Sally. Wells Now, some news from ShopWells.
Shopwells and our friends at Concordia Technology Solution. I mentioned them earlier in the podcast. They are the people behind Shepherd Staff, and they're actually having a big sale on Shepherd Staff from now through the end of May, because the new version 2017 of Shepherd Staff is available, and it comes with something brand new, web tools. So it's a separate portal. You can log in through a web browser, and you can do certain things like entering attendance and offerings, which is huge for those churches that are using this to be able to go mobile, basically, to do it remotely and not have to be in the church office on a physical location to do those functions. So I would suggest that if you haven't tried out Shepherd Staff, now might be the time to do it. And if you are a Shepherd Staff user, you might want to look into that upgrade if you haven't done it yet. Sale ends May 31st, so save 25% right now.
Yeah, big news, I think, with this. This is probably one of the most asked for features. They do have an online product called Member 360 or Church 360 with Member 360 as a module that allows all of this. But a lot of people like Shepherd Staff and some of the power that it provides. And this just gives a little bit more online capabilities that that I think churches would really appreciate. So take a look at that. All right. I think it is that time of the show where we take a moment and each of us has a pick or tip of the week, something that we found during the week, useful, maybe a productivity website or tool or piece of hardware or a blog post, something that has helped us along the way that we wanted to share with you. Sally, what did you find this week for your pick?
My turn. Okay. My pick comes from a website called Better Cloud Monitor. And I'm not sure if you've heard me talk about this site much on the show, but I believe longtime listeners will remember us mentioning many times a site called Google Guru. And they actually were bought by this group, Web Cloud Monitor, and so the Google Guru is represented here very well. Probably one of the few blogs that I read on a daily basis. And this article, 8 Hidden and Useful Features in Google Search, taught me a few things and made me realize how friendly my Google search bar really is. So, for instance, you can use Google Search to keep a beat. Simply type metronome and it'll prompt you with a slider bar as to how many beats per minute you want, and Google will be a metronome playing the beat for you. And I thought that was really useful for kind of on the fly stuff. I mean, I could do that on my phone or whatever if we're in a musical setting where, you know, even the conductor at times just needs to get a beat in their head before they conduct a piece or whatever. That's a handy tool available for you. If you're tracking a package, you can simply type in a tracking number and it'll help you find which carrier it's with if it doesn't recognize the tracking number as a specific carrier, and then get the tracking information right there through Google. So you don't have to figure out or go to a particular carrier's website to track. You can just do it through the Google box. Others, calories, counts and things you can find. If you want to divide up a ticket, you can type tip calculator and tell it how many people are going in on the bill and what percentage you want to leave for a tip, and it'll do that for you. It has movie information. It has traffic based on your current location. It'll tell you where there are traffic tie-ups. I'm guessing, Martin, you don't ever have traffic tie-ups there in the Milwaukee area that you want to kind of avoid.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
My trip to the Senate office is actually pretty clean. But boy, when I lived in Chicago, that was a lifesaver.
Sure. And then sunrise and sunset is the last one on the list. So some really handy, simple ways that you just need to kind of put in the back of your brain and call on them with Google search whenever you need them.
Google has got stuff going on when it comes to that kind of stuff. So, and it's surprisingly easy to get to. Nice. Good pick. My pick is, it's a longer story. I'll try to make it as brief as possible. So settle in. For a long time, I don't know, since 07, I think, or 06, I've had I probably even had the domain longer than that, martinspriggs.com. But for that, since 07, I think I've had it as a WordPress, pointing to a WordPress blog. I self-hosted or hosted through a service called DreamHost. I think I've talked about that on the show before. I paid $120 a year, something like that, for the host. And then you can install whatever open source software, which WordPress is. And I would say I was semi-consistent for a while in blogging, and then I did more on the Synod blog, and it was really hit and miss. And I found I was not using that blog very much, but I still had to maintain it. And that's one thing with some of these sites like WordPress, or if you've ever put up your own Moodle site, there's constantly security updates. And, you know, I was hacked once, so I had to get rid of that and patch things up and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I thought, well, is there a better way to do this? Especially when I'm writing content in a lot of different places. So I'm not just, it's not like 2007 where you're just writing in one place, one blog, where you're putting your pictures and your, you know, whatever. You're on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all these different places now. And each of them does what they do well. So I thought, well, how do I, in 2017, 10 years later, how do I do that better? So what I decided to do, and I wrote a blog post about this. Let me do a quick screen share too. I wrote a blog post about this on Medium, which is actually the blogging platform I had been using, called Life Without Hosting. And what I decided to do was close down my WordPress blog, ditch the hosting agreement so I don't have to keep that up anymore. I don't have to pay them anymore either. I switched my domain through Hover. Hover.com is a domain registrar. So I said, well, I don't want DreamHost to hold my domain anymore. I want a place where I can point it wherever I want. So I talk about this in the blog post. So I pushed martinspriggs.com, which is the domain I own, over to Hover, and I can point it to wherever I want. And so the next question was, well, where do you point it if you're not pointing it to your blog? I decided to pick a service which we've talked about in the past called about.me, which is really about as simple as it gets. They provide you one page. You plug in your information. You can have a write-up, kind of a brief article, profile, some hashtags, where you work, where you were educated, and then all the links to the social networks that you're a part of. So you can tell people, well, just go to martinspriggs.com and you can find all the stuff. So they could email me here. They could go to my Facebook page or Twitter feed, LinkedIn, Instagram, my Medium blog posts, Pick 500 or 500 Picks, PX is where I store a lot of my photos. And even Pinterest is on here. And okay. I go to my Pinterest page. Or at the top, and this is something you can change, what's in the big button at the top. And right now it says read my blog, but it could say see my pictures, or, you know, there's all kinds of things that you can kind of highlight. So, and then you can hyperlink different things within your profile as well. So it's kind of a nice jumping off point. So if you go to martinspriggs.com, it redirects you to about.me, finds this information, my little picture, and then all the ways to get in touch with me or see my other stuff. So as I said, I use Medium for blog posting. One thing about Medium, it's one of the more popular places, and that's a good thing if you want your stuff to be read. I still don't write a ton, but when I do, it's good that, you know, it's available for people to find it. And that's why I think a place like Medium is a little bit better than maybe hosting your own site. I think the SEO, so to speak, is a little bit better if you're pushing your content where a lot of people are. And that's why I think Twitter is popular and places like Medium. Medium actually was built by the inventor or the founder of Twitter, Williams, put Medium together. And one of the neat things about Medium now, and this was kind of part two of my pick, is they have something called series. And these are little ongoing pieces of content that you can add to each and every day. So I started one called Continuant Him, and this is where I kind of do journaling where I will have a post a day on the verse of the day. So people can find this and they can subscribe to it and get notified if they want to see, you know, my thoughts on the verse of the day each and every day. And it's kind of a good discipline for me too. Just to, I just write a paragraph or so and then a brief prayer each day on the verse of the day, kind of a part of my devotional life, but then I can share it and people can grab it on Medium. And I've had some nice feedback already on this app. One thing that might be of interest to you, Sally, is that one thing that my blog provided was a way to kind of show some of the projects I've been working on. And if I didn't have a blog, I didn't know, and Medium isn't real good at that, where would I put that? So what I decided to do was use a Pinterest board, believe it or not.
Believe it or not.
I created a board called Portfolio. And I don't have everything on here, but some recent projects that I've been working on, some logo design and some mobile app stuff that I've done. And I mentioned, I mentioned the yearbook here. Just gives a little bit of exposure to some of these things that people might be interested in. But I found Pinterest to actually be a pretty viable way to do that, where you can either take a picture or send a link, and you can have a little, and you're well aware of this, you have a little description and then a link to the location. And it's a very visual medium, and people can subscribe to it. And I learned a little bit more about Pinterest last weekend as I was working on this, or 2 weekends ago when I was working on this, Sally. One thing, and I note this in the blog, on my Medium article post, is I've not found a good way to do a screenshot right into Pinterest. Am I missing something simple? Can you help me out there?
Pinterest well, why don't you go back to one of your pages? If you had the Pinterest pin, the extension, when you click the extension, it gives you a selection of things, and one of them is a screenshot of the page, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, really?
Let me see if I can do it on mine, because I have that extension. I'll share my screen real quick. And
a little bonus pick here.
Yeah, I'm going to click the Pinterest pin, and it doesn't do that. So I was wrong.
It only allowed me to pick one of the images on the page, I wanted the whole page. And so I took a screenshot and then I uploaded it.
Yeah, I bet
there's probably a plugin that does that, but the built-in Pinterest one doesn't, I don't think.
So. Yeah, I think I'm thinking of the PicMonkey extension. When you click the PicMonkey extension, it shows you all the pictures and the screenshots. So that's what I was thinking of. Gotcha. But. Okay. Yeah, I think you'd have to take a screenshot. Sorry.
Anyway, the big news is that I'm enjoying at least this piece of Pinterest. I think it's got some some usefulness for me. So that's kind of my story. I think that the days of, you know, just sending somebody to your website are probably a little bit over, because we're all over the place. And just kind of a home base is really helpful for people who prefer to connect with you on Twitter or Facebook or Pinterest. They can do that now without having to figure out where all you are, without kind of that launch pad. So liking it. And it's cheaper too. About.me doesn't cost anything. I just have to pay for my domain name each year, which is like $14. So it's not a bad, turn of events for me.
Wow. It's a couple of things struck me. One, I have to say up front that I have a suggested title, Martin Loves Pinterest, or something to that effect for the show. But, you know, that's just a suggestion. We'll see if you go with it or not. Two is, it seems like it goes well with the minimalist kind of vibe that is becoming more and more popular, I think, in the United States. Less is more. And exactly. And just in the way we live, our carbon footprint, all of those kind of concepts, it does fit. And so I like what you've done. That's exciting to see.
And it was not hard. It's anybody could really do it. So it's not that challenging. But I'll kind of give you a report few months from now to see how it's going. But I like the fact that I don't have to think about, I can just kind of use the tool that's going to work the best, if it's Facebook or Twitter or Pinterest. we'll see.
Gosh, it's just hard for you to like put those words out of your mouth still.
I've stopped calling it P interest. So that's a step in the right direction.
Way to go. Right.
Let's move on to ministry resources. Sally, you've got the podium for this week's ministry resource.
And I enjoyed putting together this week's ministry resource because I have a personal connection to it. So this week I'm talking about Worship Helps. And for those that aren't familiar, Worship Helps is not this Pinterest page. It is a weekly publication from wells.net. You can also find it over on whataboutjesus.com. And it basically looks ahead to the coming Sunday. It explains a theme for the verses that are part of the reading, the pericope for that Sunday's of the church year. And then it gives you a chance to do the readings, and it has some interactive kind of question and answers provided around each of the readings. And again, it's the pericope, but it also includes not just the traditional lessons, but the supplemental lessons that have been published in the not too distant past by Wells. So all those different readings and questions and answers around those. And you can get Worship Helps online, or you can subscribe and receive them via email. And that's the topic that I covered here in this ministry resource post that's available now. Along with other ideas for using Worship Helps, I mean, certainly it's very easy to receive them via email or look online and read them and read it yourself, but you can kind of structure some group Bible study around this. And this is the part that makes me really excited, because that's exactly what we do actually in our technology office. We use this as the beginning of our team meetings each week, and we do a team devotion, and we kind of go around the room. Different people volunteer to do the readings. We don't look at the answers to the questions. We just kind of read the questions and open it up for discussion. And I think it's been a very beneficial Bible study tool for our group. So I'd suggest it would be appropriate for church and school staff and faculty, for family devotions. And I think I really enjoy the discussion and things. And kind of the revelation of the theme that ties through all the different readings, because they aren't just randomly selected. They're selected for a purpose and fit together well if you stop and read about it and consider it. I also have quite often gotten a little happiness as I go into worship and I think, man, this seems really familiar. Oh yeah, we talked about this in Bible study earlier this week, and it just makes worship so much more rewarding to have studied the lessons ahead of time. So that's my suggestion for you in the ministry resource. Maybe you want to include it in your church e-newsletters and get your members reading it ahead of the service. You know, share links to it via social media. There's so many ways that you could use the Worship Helps personally and corporately as a church or school. And I just encourage you to dig into it. Give it a try for a few weeks and see where it leads you.
Great resource. Just a reminder, it is available in the mobile app too. So if
That's right.
Sit in church, just kind of waiting for church to start, open it up, and you've got it right there in front of you, or you know, during the reading. So
excellent.
Good stuff. Thanks, Sally. Mm-hmm. All right. We are to that point in the show where we share a particular video that you might find interesting, and we found a music video.
That's right. Back with our friends Koine, who always produce such quality work. Awesome. We're going to be sharing The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, and excellent quality. You could use it in projection even, because it's so well done. It has all the words to the song, so it's easy to sing along with, and I just love their rendition of it. So watch the Wells Tech blog for that, and share.
Beautiful. Sally, I feel sunshine coming our way next week.
Yep. One last podcast with Jason Schmidt for the school year coming up next Tuesday. We'll be recording with Jason on the topic of educational technology. And, you know, anything goes when Jason's on the show. We've spent this season of educational technology podcasts looking at the NMC Horizon Report. So I think we'll take one more look there, maybe talk a little bit about Jason's summer plans and ideas for our listeners in terms of STEM and their summer plans. So tune in for that.
Very nice. We want to thank everybody for tuning in once again. We truly do appreciate you deciding that your time is best spent listening or watching to us. We hope we have not disappointed you. If you have ideas for the show, that would be great feedback for us, and we'll try and do our best to make this a time well spent. Thank you for joining us, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.